I'm Patrick Stewart, and I play Poop.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast where the first letter of each episode title is the key to a larger mystery about the show. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Dave Lost Wages Larson.
I'm going to flush your dreams away.
Liz, powerful muskox McIntyre.
The story of this smack talk is you're going down.
And Matt, chef's kiss scepter.
I'm here to cook up the competition.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the show. It is the first elimination match of our Season 4 Calistola Division. But before we get into the game, we have to say hello to Score Master Dan. Hey there, Dan.
Just a quick note to our listeners. You might have noticed some noise from our cooling system up in the booth last episode, but we have fixed the issue, and all three of the strongmen with palm fronds have been instructed to stay completely silent during our recording.
And also joining us today is Production Master Dave.
Fair is foul and foul is fair. Hover through the fog and filthy air.
Well, that's an omen if there ever was one that signals it's time to start our opening challenge, a round of My Champion. Each one of our players has chosen a champion from somewhere in the world of pop culture, but now they get to find out what challenge that champion has to undergo. Dave, who is your champion today?
My champion is Sean, the head demon of the bad place from the good place.
Liz, who have you chosen?
We're keeping it in the NBC family. My champion is literally the best. It's Chris Traeger.
And Matt.
For the trifecta, Dwight Schrute from The Office.
Yes!
The show's written in some capacity by Mike Schur, trifecta of champions today. That's a beautiful coincidence. And with that, let's spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario, who would be best at teaching a kid to ride a bike? Dave, why would Sean from The Good Place be excellent at teaching a kid to ride a bike?
Well, you might think he's at a disadvantage because he hates all humans and hates people, but he is really good at motivation, and he is really good at torture. He could put lava pits on either side of the path of the bike. He could threaten to corkscrew out the eyeballs of the child's parents, and I think that would motivate a child to really learn how to balance and zoom as fast and far as they can.
Thank you, Dave. And Liz, how about Chris Traeger?
Oh, Chris Traeger's got this. So not only is he going to manage the city government program that teaches all children how to ride bikes, but he's not intimidating. It's impossible to be in a bad mood when you're around him. So kids falling down, they're going to get back up. They're going to want to get back on their bike. They're going to want to do it for cool Uncle Chris. And also, there's nothing to be said for the amount of enthusiasm that Chris has for physical fitness that I think that he would really get behind this cause.
Thank you, Liz. And Matt, make the case for Dwight Schrute.
All right. So we all know what Dwight stands for. Determined, worker, incredible, good worker, hard worker, terrific. Those are all the qualities you need to teach someone to ride a bike.
A concise argument from Matt. But now we're going to throw it over to our judge, Dan, to determine the winner.
Absolutely. So I like the idea of Dwight Schrute teaching little kids to ride a bike through the beats, but I don't think I would really want him to teach me to ride a bike. Sean from The Good Place, yeah, he could motivate you, but scaring small children, trying to get them to ride a bike better, I'm not sure it's going to work. I think our winner today is Liz with Chris Traeger. I think that sort of mixture of enthusiasm and not being intimidated is exactly what those kids are going to need in order to get up on two wheels.
An undeniable victory for Liz. You have won My Champion.
Oh, thank you so much. I've actually taught a kid how to ride a bike before, and the number one rule is don't run into my car.
Perfect. Well, Liz, that means you also get a chance to answer the half point. Get this question right, and you'll have a competitive edge that might break a future tie before it even happens. Here is your half point question. The year is 2012. You are in New York City, and you have a package that absolutely must get across town as quickly as possible, no matter what. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is your bike messenger. What tier of service do you need?
Oh, God. It seems clear that it's top-tier service, but I feel like you're making a reference that I have not caught, and I'm going to say that the best service possible.
I really like that answer. No, the service you need is Premium Rush, the title of that 2012 movie. Starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt as a bike messenger, Premium Rush.
Okay.
It came out like 2 weeks before Looper, so it got lost in the shuffle. But Liz, you still get to go first in round one. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Pop culture, and to be honest, culture, has a long history of violence against witches. In this game, I'm going to describe how a witch was killed in a pop culture property. You name the property. So if I told you that a witch was killed in a 1939 movie by a falling farmhouse, you'd know that she was from...
The Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz. That would get you 10 points. Now, if you need a little more help, I can tell you the name of the witch and who played her, but then a correct answer is only worth 5. Liz, our My Champion Victor, is going to kick off round one with this witch death. It's from a 1998 TV series. Killed by a demon assassin named Shax, though her sisters keep trying to bring her back.
I'm gonna need a little bit more.
A witch named Prue Hallowell, played by Shannon Doherty.
Was that one Charmed?
For 5 points, Charmed. Over to Matt from a 2005 movie. Crushed and maybe mauled by a lion slash religious allegory.
2005 movie. Crushed, mauled. I'm going to need a hint.
A witch named Jadis, played by Tilda Swinton.
Is it The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe?
Yes, the first of the recent Narnia films, The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Over to Dave's first question. It comes from a 2021 TV series. She wasn't physically killed, but stripped of her powers and memory and forced to live out her life as a sitcom character in New Jersey.
That's Angela from Harkness, from WandaVision.
WandaVision was the answer, but Agatha Harkness is the character name, played by the great Catherine Hahn.
Agatha all along.
Back over to Liz. This one's from a 2019 TV series. Burned at the stake, leading to an explosion from all the gunpowder. But she did leave her nice and accurate prophecies behind.
I'm going to need a little bit more.
A witch named Agnes Nutter, played by Josie Lawrence.
Pass.
That is Good Omens, the Amazon adaptation of the Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett book.
Yeah, I've heard that that's great, and it's one of those things that I'm very excited to watch.
For Matt, your next witch death comes from a 2014 movie. She gets sick of everyone whining, so she throws down all the beans, gets sucked into a tar pit, and apparently dies.
Wow. Okay. 2014. I think I'm going to need another hint.
This witch was played by Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep, 2014. I'm going to have to pass on this one.
David knows this one.
It's Into the Woods.
Yes, the Sondheim adaptation, Into the Woods. Dave, this next one's for you. This witch death is from a 1994 TV series. Wounded by a tuxedo-clad sidekick, reinvigorated by an evil space queen, and then finally killed by a Japanese schoolgirl with long hair and a short skirt.
I have an idea, but I'm going to take the hint.
The witch's Queen Beryl, voiced in the original U.S. dub by Naz Edwards.
Oh, yikes. The Last Airbender?
Liz knows this one.
Is this Sailor Moon?
Sailor Moon is that schoolgirl. Liz, this next one's for you. This death comes from a 2020 movie, turned into a rat by her own potion, and then eaten by a cat.
Is this The Witches?
Yes, with Anne Hathaway as the Grand High Witch. Next up for Matt from a 2005 TV series. Stabbed at her own request in order to seal up hell and re-imprison all the souls there.
I'm going to need a hint for that one.
A witch named Rowena McLeod, played by Scottish actress Ruth Connell.
Nah, nothing comes to mind. Pass.
That's from the longest-running American genre series, Supernatural. And over to David. This witch death is from a 2011 TV series where she takes off the necklace that maintains her youth and quickly dies of old age.
Oh, that's Game of Thrones.
Melisandre's death. Yes, Melisandre's death in Game of Thrones. And that'll take us into our first score update from Scoremaster Dan.
All right. Most of the way through round one, Dave is in the lead. He's got 20 points. Liz is close behind with 15. And Matt has just 5. But if we know anything from these round one score breaks, it's that anything can happen.
Kicking it back in with Liz, this witch death is from a 2017 movie. Slapped into the sky by Jason after refusing to give up the green power coin, she freezes in the cold of space.
That sounds like Power Rangers.
Absolutely. Elizabeth Banks' take on Rita Repulsa.
I love Elizabeth Banks.
As we all should. Over to Matt. This is from a 2007 movie. Vaporized by the light from a star that's become embodied as a person.
Vaporized from the light of a star that's become embodied as a person. Can I get a hint?
A witch named Lamia, played by Michelle Pfeiffer.
Is it Stardust?
Yes, for 5 more points, Stardust. Over to Dave. This is from a 1997 TV series. She's returned to her own body by a librarian's counterspell, then trapped in an old cheerleading trophy.
Is that Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yes, from the season 1 episode with Amy Madison and her mother, Catherine, played by Robin Riker. The final witch death for each of our players, starting with Liz. This one is from a 2018 movie. Gruesomely killed by what seems to be an elder god, or maybe death, after her attempt to transfer into a dance student's body is thwarted.
I'm gonna need a hint.
A character named Helena Marcos, played by Tilda Swinton.
I pass.
This is from Luca Guadagnino's remake of Suspiria.
Oh, man.
And for Matt, we've got a 2011 TV series. Burned at the stake in a designer dress and sunglasses with the famous last words, Balenciaga.
Oh, man. This is a lot tougher than listening along.
We hear that a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to need a hint.
A character named Myrtle Snow, played by Frances Conroy.
I'm going to go ahead and guess Outlander.
Nope, that's going to be the 3rd season of American Horror Story, the Coven season set in New Orleans.
So Matthew, I think your version of Outlander sounds really awesome, and I kind of want to see that.
Hell yeah.
I really wish I had the foresight that when my time eventually comes, my last words can also be Balenciaga, because that sounds awesome.
Yes.
Just keep on saying it at random intervals, and there's a good chance.
Yeah, I'll just be like, I'll wake up in the morning, Balenciaga!
Just in case. And for Dave, your final witch death comes from a 2014 TV series where she has her throat torn out by a Wild West gunslinger who's also a werewolf.
I'm going to need the hint.
A witch named Evelyn Poole, played by the late Helen McCrory.
I have no idea. I'm going to guess Grimm.
In the right vein, but that is going to be Showtime's Penny Dreadful, the sort of mashup of Victorian horror and sci-fi characters. Well, that'll finish it up for round one. Up next, the scores from Dan, and on to round two.
After one round of play, it's time for the Cheesy Blasters score break. Cheesy Blasters, you take a hot dog stuffed with some jack cheese, folded in a pizza, you've got Cheesy Blasters. Thanks, B-Cat. At this point, Dave is in the lead with 30 points. Liz is close behind with 25. Matt is in third place with 10. But that means he'll have to go first in round two.
Thank you, Dan. That also means Matt's going to get a crack at the Threequalizer. Matt, you're about to hear a question that has 3 possible correct answers. You're going to have 3 guesses to match as many of those answers as you can. 10 points for each correct answer you match. Your Threequalizer question is... 3 people have won both Oscar and Razzie Awards in the same weekend. Alan Menken's Oscar was for Aladdin, screenwriter Brian Helgeland's Oscar was for L.A. Confidential, and Sandra Bullock's Oscar was for The Blind Side. What movies did they get those Razzies for, each in the same year as their Oscar? Alan Menken, Brian Helgeland, and Sandra Bullock.
Okay, let's say movie 43. I'm going to have to pass.
Alan Menken's Razzie that he won the same year as Aladdin was for Newsies, the other Disney musical.
Ah, such a good movie.
It is great. That movie deserves zero Razzies. The Razzies can get bent. Brian Helgeland won a Razzie the same year as L.A. Confidential for the screenplay for The Postman, the post-apocalyptic Kevin Costner movie, and Sandra Bullock won for All About Steve at the Razzies, same year she won for The Blind Side. Same weekend, mere days apart, Sandra Bullock famously showed up to the Razzies to accept her award with a radio flyer wagon full of DVDs of All About Steve to hand out. Well, let's get to know a little bit more about our players by hearing a bit more about their tastes and ideas from the world of pop culture. Dave, what's the best time you ever had at a screening of a movie that's just super memorable to you?
Well, I do remember when I went to the opening night of The Devil Wears Prada with three men in very tight shirts, and one of my acquaintances started to ask me out on a date, and her gaydar was so far off that I remembered it years later. The Devil Wears Prada is not where straight guys go on their first night out.
Thank you, Dave. And Liz, if someone was to write a musical based on your life, who would you hire to do that?
So there's this musical group out of Newland Conservatory in Boston area called Lake Street Dive. I've seen them in concert probably at least 5 times now. They're sort of like soul meets jazz meets like funk meets more modern stuff. And I just think that they've got a really diverse skill set that would really jive well to an entire musical. And, you know, back up maybe Sarah Bareilles. She's already got the experience. So
I'm so jealous that you saw them live. They are so awesome.
Oh, yeah. I actually caught them by accident back in 2014 and I got hooked. So.
And Matt, what is your most maybe unpopular take or idea from the world of pop culture?
Yeah, so I think Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is actually the third best Indiana Jones movie. I think it's actually a good movie. I feel like I'm Mugatu taking crazy pills when I hear people talk about this. It's ahead of Temple of Doom for me, anyway.
I agree. That's why I asked you that question, because I'm firmly in the same boat. Yeah, I like that movie a lot. All right, well, that's going to take us into round two, entitled Tagline, Your It Line. We all love good movies and would all go to see them on our own, regardless of the marketing. But how do you go about marketing a bad movie? In this game, I'm going to read you the tagline for a Razzie Award-winning movie. You tell me what movie that tagline is for. So, if I told you that this 2008 Razzie winner had the tagline, "His karma is huge," you'd know I was talking about...
The Love Guru.
The Love Guru. Now, if you need a little more help, I can give you another tagline for that movie, and after that, even tell you one of the Razzie categories that that movie won. You can get a guess after each clue, but the more clues you get, the fewer point for a correct answer. We'll start round two with Matt. This movie's from 2015 with the tagline, "Are you curious?" Question mark.
Is it Curious George?
That'd be amazing if it was. No. Another tagline for this movie is, "The worldwide phenomenon comes to life."
Is it Marmaduke?
This movie won the Razzie category Worst Actor for Jamie Dornan.
Oh, is it 50 Shades of Grey?
For 10 points, 50 Shades of Grey. Over to Liz. This 2016 movie had the tagline, "Long time, no Z." As in the letter Z.
The Sandman?
I really like that guess. Another tagline for this movie is, "Balloons are beautiful and have no body fat."
Up?
This also won the category Worst Supporting Actress for Kristen Wiig.
Pass.
That movie is Zoolander number 2.
Oh, God, and you guys said Mugatu, and my immediate thought was, he's so hot right now.
All right, for Dave, this 2017 movie had the tagline, "Welcome to a new world of gods and monsters."
Ooh, 2017. Shoot. I'm going to take another hint.
Also has the tagline, "Ancient Evil Returns."
Is it The Mummy 2?
This movie also won the Razzie for Worst Actor for Tom Cruise.
Yikes. Mission Impossible 4.
No, that one, you were very close with your second guess. It is just The Mummy, that reboot that was supposed to kick off the Dark Universe.
Oh, man.
The most exciting cinematic universe that we still get excited for every installment of to this
so
day.
So close.
Oh, gosh.
I kind of wish that happened. Not going to lie.
We were so ready. Matt, this 2019 Razzie winner has the tagline, "The most joyful event of the holiday season."
Most joyful event of the holiday season. Is it Last Christmas?
It also has the tagline, "Who will win?" Question mark.
Who will win? So they're someone's they're fighting it out. Let's see. 2019, who will win? Grudge match?
This also won the Razzie of Worst Director for Tom Hooper.
Cats.
Yes, who will win the Jellicle Ball? Over to Liz. This 2019 Razzie winner has the tagline, "Everyone has one more fight in them."
Obviously, it's Fight Club, right? Yeah, that was definitely made in 2019.
The second tagline is, "The Legend Comes Home."
I'm just going to name good movies now. Avatar.
You're good at movies that end in 9. You got 99 for Fight Club, 2009 for Avatar. You're just moving right up.
You found our weakness. We only like good stuff.
Yeah, I don't really follow the Razzies very closely.
What a disadvantage to like good things. This also won the Razzie for Worst Prequel, Remake, Ripoff, or Sequel.
I don't know.
That movie is Rambo Last Blood, where the legend comes home for one more fight. Over to Dave. This 2018 Razzie winner has the tagline, "They don't have a clue."
They don't have a clue. And it's not the awesome Clue movie, because that's way too old. Is it Blue's Clues the movie?
The other tagline is "Weapons of Mass Deduction."
Oh, mass deduction. So now I'm thinking it's like math. Oh no, it's that Sherlock Holmes terrible movie. Is it Holmes and Watson?
For 20 points, Holmes and Watson.
I'm impressed.
Next up to Matt, this 2017 Razzie winner had the tagline, "An Adventure Beyond Words."
An Adventure Beyond Words, 2017. Bad movies from 2017. What else do we have? Next hint, please.
The other tagline, "Welcome to the secret world inside your phone."
Is it the Emoji Movie?
I'm Patrick Stewart, and I play Poop.
For 20 points, yes, the Emoji Movie. Next up to Liz, this 2009 Razzie winner had the tagline, "When all else fails, they don't."
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm just going to name ones that I know are wrong. The Social Network.
The other tagline, "Evil never looked so good."
Oh, gosh. Let's go with the Devil Wears Prada. I mean, already in the conversation.
It also won Worst Supporting Actress for Sienna Miller.
I don't know. Pass.
That movie is G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra.
Oh, man.
Over to Dave. This 2015 movie had the tagline, "When you change the world, prepare to defend it."
When you change the world, prepare to defend it. What is the Transformers?
Other tagline, "Beyond darkness, beyond fear, lies the fantastic."
The Fantastic Four?
Yes, otherwise styled as Fant4stic on the poster. They changed the A to a 4. But yes, the 2015 failed reboot of Fantastic Four. That'll take us into our next score break from Scoremaster Dan.
Taylor, you say it's a failed reboot. I mean, they didn't make any more because they got everything they wanted done in the first one. There's just no reason for more movies after that. It was so good.
Yes, it's ruthlessly efficient.
At this point, Dave is in lead with 70 points. Matt has 50. Liz has not yet gotten in any points in round two. She's still at 25. But there's still plenty of game and plenty left to go in this round.
Kicking it back to Matt. This 2009 Razzie winner has the tagline, Universal Studios invites you to get lost.
Invites you to get lost. 2009. Next sim, please.
The world's greatest scientists agree. Dr. Rick Marshall is completely nuts, but he's about to show the world he's not as crazy as he looks.
Get on your horse, Rick Marshall. What is that called? The Land of the Lost.
Very good. For 20 points, the Will Ferrell version of Land of the Lost. Next up, over to Liz. It's a 2014 Razzie winner with the tagline, Mysterious, Dangerous, Reptilious. You've never seen heroes like this.
I mean, my first thought was Anaconda, which I know is wrong. But you start talking about reptiles, that's where my head's going to go.
The leader, the brains, the attitude, and Mikey.
Yeah, the thing is, I watched a TikTok earlier with that guy from The Sandlot, and that's all I can really think about right now. So I'm going to say King Kong.
Also won the Razzie for Worst Supporting Actress for Megan Fox.
Godzilla?
Dave?
Is it Secret of the Ooze, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie?
It is just that 2014 live-action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, not from the original continuity where Secret of the Ooze came in and Vanilla Ice comes in at the end.
Oh, man.
And for Dave, this 2014 Razzie winner has the tagline, Family is the greatest gift of all.
Oh, boy, that sounds like a really bad holiday movie of some kind. That's a good movie, though. The Family Stone.
Your second tagline is, It's a Hard Knock Life.
Oh, that's Annie.
Yes, the remake of Annie with Cameron Diaz and Kwangjanae Wallace. Over to Matt, this 2011 Razzie winner has the tagline, She isn't shy, she isn't subtle, and worst of all, she isn't leaving.
Is it Jennifer's Body?
Next tagline, There are identical twins, then there are fraternal twins, and then there are nocturnal twins.
Nocturnal twins. She isn't leaving. Next sim, please.
Worst supporting actor for Al Pacino.
Nocturnal animals?
I really like that guess because that movie is terrible. No, that's going to be the comedy Jack and Jill.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Which is weird because Pacino is really dialed in that movie. He's the one actually funny thing about it. Next up for Liz, this 2018 Razzie winner has the tagline, No Sesame, All Street.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so is it 21 Jump Street? No.
It also has the tagline, Sex, Murder, Puppets.
Sex, Murder, Puppets?
That is correct.
Oh, my God. I mean, we already said 50 Shades of Grey, so it can't be that. oh, gosh. This is not my category.
I want the public remade of 50 Shades of Grey right now.
Okay, 2018, Sex, Murder, Puppets, and Open Sesame. Oh, gosh. This is probably something that I like would have really enjoyed watching, too, because it sounds like just my kind of trash, but I don't know. What's the next clue?
Worst Actress winner, Melissa McCarthy.
I mean, it's not the female Ghostbusters, is it? Oh, man.
Matt?
Is it called The Happy Time Murders?
Yes, Brian Henson's The Happy Time Murders. And we'll close out round two with Dave. This 2012 movie has the tagline, The Story of a Child and His Son.
Story of a Child and His Son. Happy Gilmore.
Second tagline, everyone has a teenage crush. Donnie's went a little too far. 30 years later...
Oh, no. I'm glad I didn't know what this is. It sounds very disturbing. Oh, next loop.
Worst actor winner, Adam Sandler.
Jeez, I had Adam Sandler in the first guess.
It's about the Razzies, Dave. You're going to get multiple Adam Sandlers.
I know, I pass. I pass.
Liz, you know this one?
Is it Little Nicky? Oh.
Matt?
That's my boy.
Yes, where his adult son is Andy Samberg and they pal around with one another.
Han Solo Burger.
Well, that'll do it for round two. Up next, the scores from Dan and on to the final round. Before we get to the final round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's pop culture riddle by next week's episode, and you can win fabulous prizes like the rights to name a score break. Dan?
I'm a Gerber baby, but without a bottle. Ran an election campaign that was less than full throttle. A newspaper strip, a movie, nothing went right. I even had to wear pants after a legal fight.
Think you know the answer? Find the page for this episode at our website, usaquizshow.com, or check the link in your show notes and submit your pop culture knowledge. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. Now, how about the score update?
Going to round three, it's time for the Cozy Mystery Novels score break. Cozy Mystery Novels, they're like true crime, only the victim is usually a jerk who had it coming, and sometimes there are recipes at the end. At this point, Dave is in the lead with 90 points, Matt is close behind with 70, Liz is trailing with just 25, but first off, Liz has a moral victory because she doesn't watch bad movies, so she's going to actually watch good movies with her time, unlike the rest of us, and she'll get to go first in round three, and she'll need to get 7 questions correct in her round in order to move into first.
I'm feeling good. I actually powered up with my Fant 4 stick before this, so it's going to be good.
Well, anything can still happen in the lightning round. In this round, players have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. 10 points for each correct answer you can get. Today's categories are social issues in space, she's getting away with murder, professional bowlers, and it's as big as a city. Now, those topics aren't 100% clear from their name alone, but pick the thing that you think you're going to do the best on, or strategically keep something easy away from one of your fellow competitors. Liz, in third place, you get first pick. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are social issues in space, she's getting away with murder, professional bowlers, and it's as big as a city.
I'm going to go with she's getting away with murder.
Any guesses as to what this category is about?
No, but the inner feminist in me says that if I didn't pick the woman's category, I'd probably get in trouble.
Well, this is going to concern the star of the ABC series How to Get Away with Murder. So this is all questions about Viola Davis.
Okay.
90 seconds on the clock. The timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Liz, are you ready?
Yes.
She won a Tony and an Oscar for Fences by this late playwright.
August Wilson.
She appears in this twisted DC Comics adaptation.
Oh, pass.
Davis's film Widows takes place in this U.S. city.
San Francisco.
Chicago. Annalise Keating crossed over from How to Get Away with Murder for an episode of this Shondaland show.
Oh, pass.
Out of Sight is her first of 4 appearances in films by this director.
Pass.
Along with Davis, she received a Best Supporting Actress Oscar nod for Doubt.
Pass.
She appears in a Tyler Perry movie in which Madea does this in the title.
Oh, gosh. It's not Diary of a Mad... No, it's not Diary of a Mad Black Woman. Oh gosh. Dang it. I've actually had to see a lot of Madea movies because of work, so this is embarrassing. Pass. Darn it.
She played Florida Evans on a live recreation of an episode of this 70s sitcom.
Florida Evans, 70s sitcom. Darn it. Great.
That show was Good Times.
Okay.
All right, Dan, let's hear the Liz report.
Okay, so let's go through the passes. Viola Davis is in the DC Comics movie Suicide Squad, or at least the first Suicide Squad movie, probably not the second one. Liz's propensity to only watch good movies comes back and bites her again. Annalise Keating was in an episode of Scandal. Out of Sight.
Oh, no!
Out of Sight is a movie by Steven Soderbergh. Amy Adams got a supporting actress nod for Doubt. In the Tyler Perry movie, where Viola Davis is in, Madea goes to jail.
No!
And finally, Florida Evans is from Good Times. Liz still managed to get one in there, so she finishes up with 35 points. Unfortunately, not enough to put her in contention. Next up is Matt. He'll need to get 2 correct answers to tie and 3 to move into first.
All right, Matt, your remaining category options are social issues in space, professional bowlers, and it's as big as a city.
It's as big as a city.
Any guesses?
Is it about kaiju movies?
Absolutely. Questions about giant monsters of TV and movies. 90 seconds on the clock. Matt, are you ready?
Yep.
A Japanese portmanteau of gorilla and whale was anglicized to this monster's name.
Godzilla.
This Avengers star was the human lead in Kong Skull Island.
Tom Hiddleston.
Some of the sets for the 1933 King Kong were burned in the making of this 1939 classic.
Gone with the Wind.
At 65 feet long in its normal state, Eternatus is the largest of these video game creatures.
Pass.
He directed 2013's Pacific Rim.
Guillermo del Toro.
Mila Jovovich fights a bunch of monsters in this 2020 video game adaptation.
Monster Hunter.
Kevin Bacon fights huge underground creatures in this 1990 cult classic.
Tremors.
In 2016's Colossal, this Ocean's 8 actress somehow controls a giant monster in Korea.
Anne Hathaway.
Mystery Science Theater surmised that this monster was both really neat and made of turtle meat.
Pass.
The giant wolf Fenris figures in the third movie of this Marvel series.
Thor.
This Leon the Professional actor shows up to help Matthew Broderick in 1998's Godzilla.
Pass.
She got a buzz cut to flee from a huge Cthulhu monster in 2020's Underwater.
Pass.
This candy-colored team fights giant monsters with the help of the robot Zords.
Power Rangers.
Power Rangers, but after the buzzer.
Wow.
All right, Dan, let's hear the Matt report.
That was a great round from Matt. Let's go through the passes. Eternatus is the largest Pokemon. The monster that is both really neat and made of turtle meat is the giant flying Godzilla ripoff Gamera. Jean Reno helps Matthew Broderick in 1998's Godzilla, and it's Kristen Stewart who flees from a huge Cthulhu monster in 2020's Underwater. Matt got 8 correct answers, bringing him to a total of 150 points, and Matt is now in the lead. It's all down to Dave. Dave has to get 6 correct answers in order to tie, and 7 in order to take the win.
Yikes.
All right, Dave, tall order. Here are your last 2 category options. We have social issues in space and professional bowlers.
I don't like either one of them. I'm going to go with professional bowlers.
Any guess as to what you think you're in for?
Ex-athletes in movies?
Not quite. The bowlers we're talking about here are the bowler hats of stage and screen. So about characters and instances of bowler hats in pop culture.
Great. My specialty.
90 seconds on the clock. Dave, are you ready?
Sure.
In this Bond movie, Oddjob has a deadly bowler hat.
Octopussy.
Goldfinger. 1972's film version of Cabaret had her playing Sally Bowles in a bowler.
Liza Minnelli.
Patrick McNee wore a steel-topped bowler as Mr. Steed in this British series.
Mr. Bean.
The Avengers. P.G. Woodhouse's version of this TV and literary servant is, quote, a godlike man in a bowler hat.
Jeeves.
Tim Roth wears a black bowler in this 2015 Tarantino Western.
Django Unchained.
The Hateful Eight. This children's book colonial metaphor wears a bowler hat when he doesn't have a crown.
Babar.
Alex DeLarge has a bowler hat and a penchant for the old ultraviolence in this movie.
Pass.
This Charlie Chaplin character habitually wears a black bowler.
A Little Tramp.
This vaudeville and cinema comedic duo wore bowler hats in most of their shorts.
Laurel and Hardy.
Frank Gorshin's version of this Batman villain was the first to wear a green bowler.
The Riddler.
The bowler-wearing mayor in 1993's Tombstone is played by this Lost actor.
Matthew Fox.
Terry O'Quinn plays the mayor in Tombstone. All right, Dan, let's hear the Dave Report.
Absolutely, we just have one pass. Alex DeLarge has a bowler hat and a penchant for the old ultraviolence in A Clockwork Orange.
Oh!
You might have heard me say a moment ago that Dave needed six questions in order to tie Matt in seven move in the lead. He got six questions correct. We are moving to the tiebreaker.
All right, looks like we've got a tiebreaker on our hands between Matt and David here on the Great American Pop Culture Quiz. So our tiebreakers are the VIP round, a.k.a. the very important potato. It's a game of hot potato where I will name a category of something in pop culture, and our players will go back and forth naming things in that category until somebody messes up. Today's category is actors who played named cats in the 2019 film adaptation of the musical Cats. So actors in the movie version of Cats, we will go in the same order as we did for the lightning rounds. So we will start with Matt.
Rebel Wilson.
Taylor Swift.
James Corden.
Idris Elba.
Dame Judi Dench.
Jennifer Hudson.
Who's in it? Anne Hathaway.
And with that miss, let's throw to the final score report from Dan.
All right, that means that our winner today with 150 points and the tiebreaker, it's David!
David!
Meow! I guess we answered the question, who will win?
That's true. David, you are now officially the jellical choice of this episode. And Matthew and Liz will have to live on in our memory. But congratulations, Dave. And thank you so much again, Liz and Matt, for playing with us. It was an absolute pleasure to have you guys. But before you go, Matt, is there anything you'd like to plug? Anything you'd like to direct our listeners towards?
Nothing to plug. I'd like people to get vaccinated if you can. I think that's important.
And Liz, anything you'd like to plug?
I don't have any side hustles, but I do think that people should continue to listen to this podcast.
Oh, you're too kind. You're too kind. Thank you, Liz. And Dave, our big winner today, you're going to be moving on to the Calistola Division Finals later in the season. But before that, is there anything you're going to be watching, studying up on so that we get your best possible game?
I think I need to watch every Adam Sandler movie because obviously that's my weak spot.
Well, they're all just sitting there on Netflix at this point. And anything you'd like to plug, Dave?
Not really. If you're in Las Vegas playing poker and you recognize my voice, come say hi.
And listeners, you can also follow Dave as the club suit emoji, tying in with his poker playing, here on our Season 4 bracket. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next week as we kick off the Genovia division of our Season 4 competition. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. Remember Dan's riddle from before the half point? Christ, it's been a long day. Remember Dan's riddle from before the lightning round?
Yes, yes, I do.
Oh, great. Christ almighty. Hey, remember Dan's riddle from before the lightning round?
Uh-huh.
Good, I'm glad. If you think you know the answer, then you should find the page for this episode and submit it. That website, usaquizshow.com. While you're there, check out all our past episodes, old season brackets, show notes, and links to subscribe to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show in your podcast app of choice.
And if you want to hear more about the movies, TV, and stage productions featured on this week's episode, we'll be talking about it all week on our Instagram and Twitter channels. We're at USA Quiz Show on both.
The Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show is made with Eye of Newt by Old Hag, Dan Casino.
Yeah, sounds right.
Warted Nose, Taylor Cole. And of course, me, Cauldron, David T. Cole. I don't know if that makes any sense, but we're going with it.
Great. Thanks, everybody. I got to go and burn some stuff off my nose. See you next time.
Okay.
It doesn't matter, Taylor. No one listens at this point. They've all flipped past at this point.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It'll be fine.
Ruthlessly efficient.